Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us back here, back again at the Backlit Cinema podcast, or Backlit Cinema, the podcast. You know, I'm always messing that up, but that's okay. I'm going to keep pushing right along. I know my name. My name is Zoe. That's Z-O or Z-O if you're outside of the U.S. We're going to take a look at the movies of yesteryear. And this episode is going to be sponsored by the Book of Lies podcast. This is the 65th episode. I had trouble getting that out. I started to sound like Sylvester the Cat, but I got it through. And I want to thank you for downloading and streaming. We really appreciate it. The reason we started this show was to strengthen the bond between my son, Zach, and me, Zoe. We watched movies that I love when I was growing up in the 70s, 80s, early 90s. And I'm going to tell you what Zach thought about those classic movies that we just watched yesterday. Now, if you like the show, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, spotchaser.com, or your favorite podcast app. Finally, please follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find the details in the show notes. Now, I have a special treat for you today. As I mentioned earlier, we are sponsored by Book of Lies podcast, and we have here today very special guests from the very same show, Sonny Hepburn and Brandy Fleeks. One is an accomplished independent author. The other is the author of the most nutritious and delicious doggy treats that you can ever feed your pet, and a new licensed real estate agent. Please welcome from the Book of Lies podcast, Sonny Hepburn and Brandy Fleeks.
That was the best. That was the best introduction ever.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I work on that. I want to make my guests feel at home. So, wow, it's a pleasure having you here. I first started listening to your podcast. I just kind of bumped into you on a Facebook, and I was like, oh, let me check out this podcast. And I like it because even though it's a true crime podcast, you kind of concentrate on like the fraud and corruption and stuff like that. So stuff that people don't always go to jail for, right? They just, they're just corrupt individuals. And it's interesting to hear about that. And then a lot of the stories you cover are ongoing, right? So I need to ask you, what prompted this particular foray into podcasting? Why was it true crime, and why did you go specifically to like fraud and corruption?
Ooh, that's a great question. I feel like scams and frauds are always out there, and like we've all had our dance with it in some shape, way, or form. But Brandy and I, we went on a game show. We went on a game show audition, and Brandy was telling us about after the audition. We were having lunch, and Brandy was telling us about Anna Delvey, the Soho grifter, now inventing Anna of all things. Oh my gosh. And she tells us a story, and we were like, oh my gosh, you know, we should do a podcast about this. Then Brandy was like taking notes in her mini notebooks, because she has like a billion. And my husband was there, and he was like, what are you writing in your book of lies, your little book of lies? And then like, we look at each other, we're like, oh my gosh, we should call the podcast that. And this is the stuff that we should focus on. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. And 3 years later, we have made it here.
That's pretty awesome. So, oh man, there was a question that I had from your comment. So I guess you're not at liberty to say which game show that you happen to be on.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Say now.
It was America Says.
Okay.
And yeah, lost.
Never heard of it.
It comes on the Game Show Network. And yeah, it was really fun. I think we got set up because like we were listen.
No, we didn't even really get to play. Like we
honestly we didn't
question, and then that was we didn't get to answer any others. Yeah.
Right. So, but it is on TV. They rerun our episode, so you'll see us on there sometimes. And randomly we'll get like text messages or phone calls or tags and posts like, hey, is that you? Or like my husband, he's from the Bahamas. they started showing it over there in the Bahamas, and they're like, hey, why is that you? Is that you? And he's like, right, yeah, that right, was like right. 3 years ago.
right. One of the things I noticed listening to you, and I've listened to interviews where people have done interviews of you, is that you and Brandy, you sound exactly alike. It's like
doing.
Yeah, I mean, Brandy, am I pronouncing it right? First of all, I could anything.
Yeah, it's Brandy.
It's Brandy. Okay, so yeah. Brandy, I can tell that your voice is a little bit deeper, and Sunny's a little bit lighter. But sometimes, like when you get to talking, I was like, oh, okay, I have no idea what's going on, right? But that's more of a me problem. That's not a you problem. That's a me problem. Yeah, and it's fascinating. So you both grew up in California. Like, is that Southern California?
Yes.
So how long have you known each other?
For our entire lives.
We've known each other for almost 40 years.
Oh my goodness. I ask that because it's more than just sounding like you sound like sisters. Like you sound like you grew up in the same family. So
yeah, same house.
We did. We've got the same father and mother. we were both born in Los Angeles, California. And we moved out of LA, moved up to the desert of the high. In the Antelope Valley in 1990. And, you know, we've been up here since then, I guess. And, you know, we've all like, we've gone to college and left and done our thing, but we've ended up back here, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with this place. But yeah, I guess, I don't think we sound alike. Brandy says that about me and my best friend, that we sound alike too. So, yes.
There's certain things that y'all say that you sound like. I'm like, why are you guys talking like?
I don't know.
So when you say in your description, when you say your sisters, you're literally sisters. I thought that you were like sisters, like black.
That's my sister. That's my sister.
We share the same DNA.
Yes.
I feel foolish because I did not take it literally. Okay. So
no,
so
I thought you did your research. WTF. We've got the same mother and father.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what kind of sets us apart from a lot of these podcasts. It's like we've experienced the same things, like the same movies, the same quotes, the same this, the same that. So if I'm thinking of something or she's thinking of something, like I'll more than likely know. I think that's why we did so good on the game show, but we got set up, but that's fine. Because we've experienced the same things and watched the same things. And, you know, we just kind of, you know, we have that super twins power, even though we're, you know, 18 months apart, but I don't know where I was going with that.
You say only, that's actually pretty close.
Yeah.
Because you measure your age difference in months. But it's interesting that you use the phrase Wonder Twin Powers because you like the same thing that we like over here, like me and my son. We like a lot of the same movies, the superhero movies, the sci-fi movies, the... all of those things. That's why I thought you were uniquely qualified to be on this podcast. I was like, oh, they like the same thing that we like.
Let's hang out.
So Brandy, so you published like 3 independent books. So what type of books are you writing? I know that they're fiction, but are these like romances or?
No. Well, actually, okay. So the first one was like just women's fiction or chick lit, as they call it. And the second two were novellas. I was ghostwriting for someone and then he pulled out. And so I published those, and those are actually like urban erotica. And I have this issue where I start a story and then I'm like, you know what? I want to write something else. So I have a bunch of works in progress. And so I'm focusing on, on one specific series right now, and that is Cozy Mystery.
Okay.
I like to write in different genres. I refuse to be tied to one genre, and anybody who says that you should only write in one genre can jump off a cliff, because I don't care.
Yeah. What people don't realize is that Stephen King doesn't stay in one genre. He's written in a few different genres. So
right,
but he's just,
doesn't he have like a pen name or something? Doesn't he have like a fake name for different genres?
Yeah, that was, no, it's actually the same genre. It's I think it's Bachman is his pen name, but it's like The Running Man, the movie that was based on his pen name. But see, that's straight.
That was sci-fi. A good
it's
movie. Not,
yes,
that
it was. A good movie. I've never read the story, but Bachman is his pen name, and so he's written a bunch of other books under his pen name, but they're mostly kind of sharing the same type of stuff that he normally writes about. So, but as I have, like The Running Man, it's fewer horror elements, but it's still fantastical. So
yeah, he wrote Stand By Me, and that's not a horror at all. So you
that
know.
Is correct. And I think he wrote that under his regular name.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Brandy, what other things have you written? I mean, do you write like articles or copy or stuff like that?
Yeah, I've done copywriting for a bunch of different companies. I've written their blog posts and,
Go ahead. Mention the dog one that you've written blog posts for.
Oh yeah. I wrote the blog posts for, Beauty's Biscuits. And I mean, I've done lots of blogs for, like medical companies, insurance companies. I've even done one about like black mold and wasps, things like that. So, you know, if they want to pay me, I'll write it for them.
Right, right. That's how it goes. So one final question for you, Brandy. I was wondering, because I heard on a previous show that you're responsible for like the, I guess, the look and feel of Book of Lies. So does that mean that you draw the pictures? Did you draw the picture on your podcast cover?
Oh, no. That was, I'm not an artist. We hired a local artist to do our cover art, and he's Miles Goth or Gaith, I think his name is. And he does, like, he, I think he does comics and stuff too. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, was that's pretty awesome. So Sunny, am I saying that right? Because that opens your podcast.
That's right. Sunny. It's Sunny. Yes. Do not call me Sunny, please. Do not.
It almost came out of my mouth. So I see it in my head, but now I'll make the adjustment. So your doggy treats are Beauty's Biscuits. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. Beautiesbiscuits.com. Yes.
There you go. So that is... Beauty's Biscuits is named after your dog, Beauty.
All it right. is. So yes.
How did you discover these dog treats? Because I can't imagine somebody being in the kitchen and be like, I'm making some dog treats. So how did that happen?
I'm going to make me some dog treats. I'm just going to start me a dog biscuit business. No, so what happened was years ago, I don't know how old Beauty was. She might have been about four. She's 14 now. She's going to be 14 this year. But she has a very sensitive stomach. She would just like throw up, you know, just eats random things and just bleh, start throwing up. And I was like, okay, what's going on? My dog has a sensitive stomach. What can I do? And I heard that pumpkin eases like upset tummies. There's like enzymes in it. And it's just really good for gut health and, you know, healthy digestion. So then I was like, okay, how am I going to get her to eat pumpkin? That's strange. And then I found a recipe and I was like, okay, this works. And then I just started kind of building off of that. And I was making them for my dog. And then I would go to work. And then I started giving them to my coworkers. And then they were like, actually, you know what happened? I had a friend and he was like, you know, you should always have multiple streams of income. So I was making the dog biscuits and I was just sharing them with friends and stuff. And then when he said this to me, I was like, oh my gosh, I could start a business selling dog biscuits. I feel like 9 years later, here we are. So yeah, it just kind of evolved. So it started with one biscuit. Now I have five different biscuits. And, you know, I do like local events. I have my online website. I have a subscription service. I'm just trying to make y'all dogs happy and give them some dog biscuits.
Right. Happy and healthy, apparently.
Yes. Happy and healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't have, you can't have your pets just vomiting all over the place. That's
no.
That's true. Oh my God. It is like the absolute worst. And then, you know, I've got like a turmeric variety for joint pain and hip dysplasia. And then I got a rescue 4 years ago and she had anxiety. So I started making a CBD biscuit. So all of the biscuits have come or have been created out of need. And, you know, my dogs don't mind getting biscuits all the time and tasting them and telling me if they like them or not. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
That's pretty awesome. So also, you are in real estate. Everybody has family member in real estate. I have a cousin.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
He's a real estate in Texas. He's a realtor in Texas, and he mm-hmm. has his own podcast. I forgot what it's called.
Is it about real estate?
Yeah, he does straight real estate. He has real estate. He has other realtors on his show, and he also has a lot of business people. It's like that's straight what he does. He's
nice
realty and business. So, if you want, I can send you a link to his show.
Yeah, definitely do. I mean, I've only been in the game for a month, like a legal registered realtor. Right. And it's a lot. It's a lot. I actually went to podcasts to search for like training information. So anytime I'm like interested in something, I'm like, let me find a podcast so that I can listen to it and like figure it out. But everybody does have somebody in real estate. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm a realtor. What's up? Oh, yeah, my aunt is a realtor. My sister is a realtor. Oh, this, that. I'm like, okay, well, she's not here right now. I'm here. My information.
Right.
Let's boogie.
Yeah, my mom's a realtor, too. And I live in an apartment. She's constantly trying to sell me a house. Like, but mom, we're moving to Georgia. We're in the Washington, D.C. area. So I was like, mom, we're moving to Georgia. And it's like, she sent me a listing of housings and they were like a $200,000 house is basically a shack in this area. It's a trailer sized house. It's like, it's not that much bigger than the apartment I live in. It is. But like, if you go down to Georgia, they're like $200,000 and get you a 4-bedroom house at the very least.
Yeah.
Yes,
we got to go down there.
Right. It's so expensive. I mean, you're in DC area, right? As you said, you're in the DC area.
Yeah.
So, like you said, 200K is like a shack over here. Like a shack is like 400K right now. The prices are so nasty.
Right.
Like, eek. What are we going to do? I'm going to live in a shack.
Right. Congratulations on you just recently passed your what do they call it? Realtor exam?
It's my real estate exam, the California State Real Estate Exam, blah 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 blah. Yeah, right. I did that. It was so stressful. I was like stressed out for like months, but I finally did it and like got all that knowledge out of me, and now it's just another can of worms. But I think it's going well. I am yesterday I actually went and like walked my neighborhood and I put together these cute little bags. I put like some seeds in them and Brandy, you're right. I did go to Dollar General and I did get some more of those seeds for four a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I got some seeds and I put my business card in there and I wrote a cute little poem and I put it all on my neighbor's porch. It was like, hey, just planting a seed. Think about me when you're using these seeds.
Right, right.
And I want to help you sell your house.
It's like I have an ulterior motive.
Of course. Right. Of course. So
I don't do any of this stuff for free.
I mean, I am, but it's like, hey, I'm right around the corner. So if you do decide to sell your house, I could be there in an instant. I could be, you know, nearby. And it was cute. It was like, hello, neighbor. You know, I just wanted to, you know, plant a seed and give you these seeds. So think of me and I want to be at your service for your home buying or selling needs. Something like that. Definitely,
getting into the multiples of the multiple streamings. Speaking
multiple, right. Like, yes, multiple streams of income. And it's like, when we're young, we don't realize, hey, you really need to hustle or have a really, really good job. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, life is a straight hustle. Huh?
Right. Our parents didn't hustle. Like, my mom tried to hustle a little bit, but like my grandmother, like, she was at the same job for her entire life that I can, ever since I was born and until she passed, she worked at the same job. And that's what we all hoped for, but it never works out that way. Right.
I mean, you could go back to corporate America. I used to work in corporate America for 10 years. And it's just like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to sell dog biscuits. I want to be in my neighborhood. I want to be able to go pick my kids up from school and do the meetings and do the this and do the that. But it takes money to do these things.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, it is what it is. I don't regret a thing. I love it.
Right. So, there was another question. It's like, it's going in and out of my mind, in and out, in and out. And it's gone. Yeah. It's gone. So,
Write the questions down.
Right, my questions. Well, it was based on your responses. And I'm not taking notes as you're talking, because then that'll just, I'll get more scatterbrained. So I'm trying to keep the scatterbrainness to a minimum. So
I understand.
Right. Oh, I just wanted to mention, like, so if you want to check it out, my cousin's podcast is called Prime Real Estate, or Prime Real Estate Podcast. I'll send a link.
I'm going to look it up right now. Hang on. Prime Real Estate Podcast, huh?
Well, Prime Real Estate Network. Prime Real Estate Network. Shout out to my cousin, Rick Davis. He's one of the co-hosts of that show.
Holler.
Right. So, Brandy, you want to talk about, I didn't forget the word, that the industry
social media handles,
plugs. You want to plug something? that's what I was looking for. Brandy, you got anything you want to plug?
You can go on to Amazon, and the books that I've written, one is under my name, Brandy Flakes. The other one is under my married last name, which is Hale. So one is by Brandy M. Flakes. The other two are by Brandy M. Hale. But the first one is called Life, Love, and Margaritas. And the second two books are called The Withdrawal Series. And then they have these long ass titles after that. So head on over to Amazon and check them out. And if you read it, leave a review. Go to my, you can also go visit my website, brandyfleeks.com. And you can actually find them there, the links to Amazon there. Yeah,
right. I actually have those in the show notes already. So are there any social media handles that you want people to follow you on?
Oh, sure. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Fleeks Brandy, so just my last name first and then my first name. And I'm on Instagram as also at Fleeks Brandy.
And that's on IG. All right, that's cool. I actually took some notes. I was taking a risk. that's pretty awesome. So, Sunny, how about your links? You got any links you want people to follow? You got websites and stuff?
Oh my God, I've got websites. Well, I mentioned it before. If you've got a dog, or you know, you want to treat a dog real nice, go to beautiesbiscuits.com and you could get some dog biscuits. I should create an offer code for you. Let's use offer code back look. Let's do that. Or should we do BLC? What do you think?
Back look sounds great.
Let's use offer code back look. And if you visit my website and buy dog biscuits and use this offer code, you will save 20%. That's a lot. Just saying.
Awesome.
I'll create that for you. So yeah, definitely do that. Your dogs will love you forever. Their dog farts won't stink anymore. Their stomachs will be great. If they're large and old and moving slow, check out my turmeric variety or my CBD variety. I've got a winter box and it has all of my CBD dog biscuits in there. And you could definitely use that promo code there and I'll mail you out something special. I'm also on the internets, on the socials. at Beauty's Biscuits. And if you want to follow me myself, my name is Sunzilla on Instagram.
On Instagram.
Or you can follow us as well at Book of Lies Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's at Book of Lies Pod. We didn't have enough letters, or we had too many letters.
Right. Yeah. The funny thing is that I didn't think of the brilliant idea of just giving all of my social media handles for this show all the same name. It's like they all had three different names. I was like, oh man, this is ridiculous. So I was able to change some of the names. It's like, how do you read this to people? This is dumb, right? I had to grow a brain, and it worked out. It's like I was able to at least get the Facebook and IG, since they're basically the same company anyway. I gave them the same name, and then the Instagram has, the Twitter has a slightly different name, but it all works out.
It all works out. They'll find you. Their social is that you guys will find him, you will find us, and we'll become best friends forever and ever.
All right. So let's move on to talk about the movie that we had just watched. When did you watch this movie?
100 years ago. No, I'm just kidding. No, I watched it recently because I was like, oh my gosh, what is I'm Gonna Get You Sucka doing on my TV? I was on some streaming platform and I was like, yes. So I watched it recently because it's a classic. And as a kid, when you watch it younger, or whenever I watched it last, of course, all the jokes go over your head. And then you're just like, wow.
Right.
Oh, Keenan, the Wayans brothers, they're crazy. I love it.
Yeah, I was old enough where I could appreciate the jokes.
So did you hear about Jen Shah?
No, I didn't hear about Jen Shah.
How about Erica? You hear about Erica?
I don't think so.
What about that fraud shit from the other day?
Can you be more specific?
There's so much fraud out there and so much shenanigans. You should just tune into Book of Lies Podcast.
Book of Lies Podcast.
Every week we talk about some fraud, some scams, and maybe even some TV shows.
Where there are scams.
Yes, of course. Scams, frauds, and all those things. So tune in every week where we'll bring you a new topic of...
scams?
That's right. Scams.
So tune in on your favorite podcatcher to catch up on the latest... liars, cheaters, thieves, and dirty rotten scoundrels.
That's right. See you soon.
Bye.
As Sunny mentioned, the movie that we're about to talk about is I'm Gonna Get You Sucka, Your Dirty Mother.
Mama, don't you say that.
I'm Gonna Tell You That Crime Does Not Pay. I love that movie. I love that song. It's just an amazing movie. So Sunny, I think you said you had the yellow. Why don't you tell us about I'm Gonna Get You Sucka?
Sure. Jack Spade returns home from the army in his old ghetto neighborhood when his brother Junebug dies from OG over gold. Jack declares war on Mr. Big. Mr. Big, a powerful local crime lord. His army is led by John Slade, his childhood idol, who used to fight bad guys in the 70s. Do you want me to read the email address?
I can get it. I think it's Lisa Colford 1976@gmail.com. I just realized how badly written this was, and I should have edited it. So, because it says his army is led by John Slade. When it says his, it refers to Jack Slade. Jack Slade's army is led by John Slade, his childhood idol. And No, it's not your fault. I didn't realize it was read like that until you. I was like, oh man, this is all wrong.
Just edit it out. Nobody will know. They won't even know.
Right. No, I just wanted the audience to realize what was happening. So Mr. Big has a different army who's led by different people. So anyway, Brandy, why don't you let us know about the release date and whatnot?
All right. It released January 11th, 1989. It was produced by Front Films, Ivory Way Productions, and Raymond Katz Productions. It grossed over $13 million domestically, and it was made for a $3 million budget, and it had great reviews.
Yes. I was actually surprised at all of the positive reviews that it got. I was expecting that it would get a bunch of bad reviews, because this looks like a movie that would, that's just primed for like the worst reviews, like Dead Tomatoes
for the Haterade.
Right, right. But it was actually because I always loved this movie, and this is one of the rare occasions where it's like, oh yeah, I'm wrong, and I'm pleasantly wrong about how the reviews worked in this movie. So obviously this movie is a precursor to a lot of the comedy that was real popular at that time. And I'm speaking specifically of In Living Color. So I think this is Keenan Ivory.
You can do what you want to do in living color.
Jesus. In living color.
This is where Jennifer Lopez got her start, right? She was a fly girl.
Yes, she was a fly girl.
So many things.
Jennifer Lopez. And then there was a couple other people that, oh, I mean, really.
Rosie Perez, too. I think Rosie right. Perez.
She wasn't a dancer, but I think she was on the show early, and also like basically the whole Wayans family had gotten mm-hmm. their start on that show. So yeah, amazing.
And Jim Carrey.
Right. Yep. Jim Carrey. How can we forget about Jim Carrey? He was there from the beginning, like from Jump Street. Yeah. He was
Fire Marshal Bill, right?
Right. He was their token white dude on that show.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was funny. So mm-hmm.
yeah. Still funny today, right? So So starring in this movie was Keenan Ivory Wayans. He played Jack Spade. He's been in A Low Down Dirty Shame, The Glimmer Man, and Most Wanted.
Then we have Bernie Cassey.
Casey.
Playing John. What?
Bernie Casey.
Bernie Casey?
Bernie Casey.
That's what I just said.
You said Cassie.
Bernie Casey.
Thank you.
Plays John Slade. He was also in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Never Say Never Again, and Revenge of the Nerds.
Brandy was like, put some respect on his name.
Okay. You better know. Okay. So we've got Antonio Fargas, who was Fly Guy, and he was in Foxy Brown, Firestarter, Shaft, Starsky and Hutch. And he had on them freaking shoes. And goldfish in them, and that big ass hat. Oh my god, amazing.
Next we have Steve James. He played Kung Fu Joe. He's been in To Live and Die in LA, The Warriors, and American Warrior. He's been in the Warrior stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got the one and only Isaac Hayes playing Hammer, and he was in Escape from New York, Reindeer Games, Shaft, and he's also Chef in South Park.
The funny thing about that is Zach did not know that he played Chef in South Park. I was like, how could you not know? He never knew. And I found
that voice
fascinating. Right. You can't mistake that voice.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Jim Brown, who was Slammer. He was in Mars Attacks, The Dirty Dozen, and The Running Man.
Also, we have Janet DuBois. She played Ma Bell. She was, I got the joke now. I just now got the joke. She was also in Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, The PJs, and what we all know her for is Good Times.
Good time. You need a payment.
Good times. So, the reason
keeping
I said
your head above water.
All right, the reason okay. I said I got the joke is because her name is Mom Bell, and Mom Bell used to be the nickname for AT&T.
All right. Really?
Yeah, yeah. They there used to be, before all of the telephone companies we have now, there used to be one telephone company, and that was AT&T. It's like, you're not making a telephone call without AT&T. And it was so dominating as a monopoly that people just used to call it Mom Bell. And and then the government broke it up. And that's why we have all of these different telecommunications companies before
cell phones. They're all conglomerate.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing it again, folks, but moving right along.
Moving right along. We've got Dawn Lewis as Cheryl. And she was also in Dreamgirls, Star Trek, Lower Decks, and A Different World.
Yes, it surprised me since she was in Star Trek, Lower Decks. Have you seen that show?
No.
Oh my God. Do you like Star Trek?
No.
Okay, never mind. It's not for you. It's and I'm being sincere. It's only for the people who absolutely love Star Trek. So it's a cartoon, and apparently it's part of the continuity of Star Trek. But
okay.
As a cartoon, it makes fun of all of the Star Trek that came before it. If you can think of a Family Guy, except that it's Star Trek and they're making fun of all of the Star Trek shows that came before it. And one of the characters is played by this woman that's on a Space Force. And the other character is the captain of the ship, plays her mother. And that character is voiced by Dawn Lewis. And I had no idea until I was writing these notes.
Okay. I just remember her from hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, I didn't know she was on that show either.
She was one of the roommates. She was living in with Mr. Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't watch too many episodes of that show.
Well, 90s. The 90s.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
John Fernan plays Mr. Big. He was in Dirty Harry, National Lampoon's Animal House, and Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Up next, we have Kadeen Hardison. He played Willie. He was in White Man Can't Jump, Renaissance Man, and A Different World.
Mm-hmm. And then we have Damon Wayans playing Leonard. He was in The Last Boy Scout, Major Payne, Mo Money, and he's, I think he left the series, though, the Lethal Weapon, the series. He was in that. Right.
Yeah, he was in that. Is that still on, or did that?
I think it stopped. I think it got canceled. Yeah.
Right.
Or he quit. I think he quit. I think he was just like, I'm done. I got enough money. I'm good.
Right. Well, one of the problems was he was getting sick of his co-star. And then they fired his co-star and they got Sean something. He has three names.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm over this.
The funny thing is that I always watched the I always wanted to watch the show, but I never got around to it. So I'm sure it was a fine show.
I'm sure it's on Hulu. I'm sure you can watch it somewhere. Right. Netflix, one of those.
And finally, we've got Hawthorne James, who played One-Eyed Sam, and he was in Speed, Seven, and The Color Purple.
Right. Oh, my goodness. I just realized something. So I'm usually used to seeing Hawthorne James like really long hair, but in this movie, he has really short hair, so I didn't recognize him until you just said that. So do you remember him from... Do you remember him from Speed?
He was a cop, right?
No, he was the bus driver.
Oh, he was the bus driver. Uh-huh.
He has like red hair.
Right, yeah. Right. He has that long red hair.
Mm-hmm. He was in the what was that movie? Mom's freaking favorite movie. Ain't nobody come to see you, Otis. The Five Heartbeats. He was also.
Oh, he was in that one. Oh, okay. That's, you know what? I need to put
that. He was Red. That was his name, Red, I think. Right. Because he's got red hair.
Right. So this movie was, as we mentioned before, directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans. He's also directed White Chicks, Scary Movie, and Little Man.
And Don't Be a Menace in the Hood while drinking your juice or some shit. Don't Be a Menace.
Oh, yeah. He's been in and written a lot of movies.
Written by Keenan Ivory Wayans, and he also wrote In Living Color, Most Wanted, and The Last OG.
Right. And which is ongoing right now. What's funny, the last time I seen Keenan, he had did a video where he's trying to figure out one of the social media apps. I don't know if it's YouTube or TikTok or something like that. And it's like his sons are trying to help him navigate whatever app he's using on his computer. Mm-hmm. And the video was on. And then I guess he's like, okay, I got it. I figured it out. And then he gets up and he starts to walk to like the back of his house and he's completely naked from the bottom down.
Was that a joke?
Yeah, it was a joke, but it was so funny because they blurred it out. They blurred out his nether region, so that was funny the way. So he's still doing that. He's still doing the joke. He still got skits, right?
He still got jokes. I met Keenan Ivory Wayans one time.
Awesome. Tell us about it.
So it was in Hollywood in like the early 2000s. I was out there visiting my friend Brandy. I was visiting Lisa.
Okay.
And went to a club. And all of a sudden, I'm like by myself. Like, these bitches left me. And I was like, okay. the fuck? And I'm like just standing around. And I see Keenan everywhere. And so I was like, Keenan! Like, I fangirled. I was like, oh my God, Keenan, I love you. And then there was some random chick. Just like, I think she was drunk. And then she like had beef or whatever. Like, she wanted to fight me. And I was like, I don't know you. And then like Keenan's like standing there because I was like trying to like, you know, I'm trying to talk to this man because he's Keenan Ivory Wayans. And then she was just like she put her hands up like she wanted to fight me. And I was like, I don't know you, chick. You don't want to fight me. And she was like drunk girl energy. And I was like, you don't want to fight. And then she just reached out and put her arms around me and started hugging me and cried. She's like, it's just so hard. And then Keenan was like, oh, you looks like you got. And I was like, I don't know her. I don't know this chick. And then I was stuck with some drunk bitch. And then he left.
She totally cock blocked you in the worst way.
Totally cock blocked me. Totally. I don't know this chick. I don't know her.
That's a beautiful story. I love that. That belongs in the archives.
I could have been Mrs. Wayans by now. Or one of them. I don't know how many wives he has.
Right. All right.
Could be the ex Mrs. Wayans.
right. You'd have been the next ex Mrs. Wayans with a pretty good. I feel like D4Zs now, they get pretty good severance packages. So. You would have been okay. hard transition because I have no idea to do segues. Brandy, why don't you let us know who did the music?
And speaking of Keenan Ivory Wayans, who did the music for this?
Right.
music was by David Michael Frank, and he composed, I guess, for Hard to Kill, Best of the Best 2, and Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Right. So not exactly John Williams territory, but you know, he's no slouch. He did a little something, something. Right. And since we're in the music category, we can't leave without acknowledging the incredible soundtrack that apparently is no longer available anywhere in the universe, except in a video on YouTube is the soundtrack for I'm Gonna Get You Sucker. So the main title was, yeah. I was looking for it because I was like, oh, I've heard this all my life. It's been playing in my head in stereo. And I was like, I should buy this, right? I should get it somewhere. Like, first I tried to stream it, which is not available for streaming on YouTube Music. You can only get it if you do the video. So like, I guess somebody, he recorded the entire album and put it on YouTube video. So that was the only, and I listened to the whole album because that's the only way to do it. So it's not broken up into segments or anything. You can't mix the music up. You can only listen straight through. So there are no credits or anything. But so the title song is sung by the Gap Band. And I was like, that's why I love that song so much.
Mm-hmm.
So and then obviously KRS-One, he did the last song in the movie, because he's actually in the movie. And they played a significant portion of this song. And then there was also, Isaac Hayes did a song. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have my soundtrack notes.
But I do have the soundtrack notes up. Let's see. Isaac Hayes, I feel like, Shaft. He did Shaft.
Yeah, because they played the theme, the Shaft, in the movie.
Yeah, when Fly Guy got out of jail?
No, that's not. They may have played a portion of it, but that was John's theme song. So John Slade, played by Bernie Casey, that, remember, he was like, every superhero's got to have a theme song, every black
hero. Yeah, and they were following him around. Song.
Right.
Yeah.
And the song they played was Shout. So yeah, it had a pretty decent soundtrack, but my favorite song is one of my favorite songs of all time is I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, the actual song.
Funny.
Right. So that's it for the opening credits of the show, and just got a couple of announcements. So if you're enjoying the show, remember you can get t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, jerseys, and more at our refurbished website, backlickcinema.com. Just go to backlickcinema.com/shop and you can check out our shop. I remember last time I told you that I was going to keep up the links to teespring.com and teepublic.com, and I took them down and I hadn't put them back up yet. No worries, I'm going to put them back up. Working on these websites is a lot of work. You don't have to code, but it's a lot of
work.
It's a lot of tediousness. That's it for the announcements. So now we're going to head into our short news break. So this is our short news break. It's just some stuff I heard. So I'm just wondering if you guys heard this stuff too. So a couple of weeks ago, I had reported that from Boing Boing that there's an actor named K.Y. Wan. I think that's how you say it. So he was in The Goonies as Data, and he was in Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom as Short Round. So he was, it's like as a child actor, he's like extremely prominent. And then for whatever reason,
was that about booby traps?
Yeah.
Booty traps.
Booty traps.
You call him Dr. Jones, lady. So so he had backed out of acting and now he came back in. There's a new movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once. So when I read this new piece of news last week, I had assumed that this movie was in production or he had just got cast. They hadn't done any filming yet. Maybe it was pre-production, but it's actually out now. I was like, oh my God, it just opened, I think, this weekend. It's not available in my area yet, but it will be available next week, starting on Wednesday, which I thought was weird.
In theaters only?
Right now, I think it's in theaters only, but it probably won't be too long before it's on streaming. Now, what's interesting is that in spite of its seemingly limited release, it's getting rave reviews. It's like 90 something on Rotten Tomatoes, like 95% of Rotten Tomatoes. So now I really wanted to watch it because I wanted to watch it like Friday, but I realized that none of the theaters in my area were playing it, even though it's already been released. So I got to wait, like I said, got to wait till next week. But it's a movie that stars Michelle Yeoh. K.Y. Wan plays her husband, but I don't think he has a major part in the movie. And so Michelle Yeoh is a person who is supposed to fix the multiverse. So you see her in a bunch of different roles trying, and for some reason, the multiverse is in danger and people have gone to her to fix it. So I'm like, oh, well, that sounds awesome.
I saw the preview for it. I was like, oh my God, that looks amazing. I was like, Michelle Yeoh is getting work because I mean, like, what is it like in the last year she's been in like 4 movies, so right. That's all.
She's been in both Marvel, she's been in Star Trek, and then she's been in a couple other movies, and now it's this movie. So yeah, she's really doing it.
Yeah,
and I can't help but feel honored, appreciate the work that she's doing.
Yeah, she's awesome. I'm like, look at the older women doing action movies. I love it.
Yes, yes. And I remember she actually had this quote. She said that I love Kung Fu, but Kung Fu doesn't love me. Right.
I can understand that. Right.
And I guess she's referencing getting beat up while she's doing those action sequences. And you know, it's part of the job, right?
That and then, you know, joint pain, like, you know, over 40, I'm like, oh my God, I can't. I used to be able to move very well, and now I feel like I'm walking through water because it's so hard just to move my body the way I want to now. It sucks.
Right. Absolutely. I totally agree. And then I got this thing where, you know, like stuff just hurts for no reason. Right.
Yes.
Just like I'm walking and then next thing you know, my knee is or my hand just like operable of nothing, just hurts, right? I saw this Facebook post and I forgot exactly what she wrote. I think it was on Twitter. I forgot exactly what she wrote, but it was like she says my neck hurts from turning and looking at things, which is ironic because that is exactly what it is designed to do, is to turn your head and look at stuff. And that's why it's hurting. So
keep living and then keep hurting. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Next is, have you heard about this report about Tom Cruise? So Giant Freaking Robot is reporting that according to its trusted and proven source, that Tom Cruise has officially joined the MCU for upcoming projects.
I don't want, I really wish he would not.
I agree.
I will not watch it
somewhere else. But like, what are they trying to do though? Like, is it trying to bring in like the Tom Cruise stans or his followership? Like, I don't see the purpose of Tom Cruise.
Well, I think that there are a lot of major Hollywood actors that want a piece of that Marvel money. They want in on it. It's like an exclusive club. Everybody wants to at least appear, at least in a small part, and at least one little role in a Marvel movie, and then they can probably put it in their resume to say that they've done it. And like, and Marvel is like, has a incredible track record as far as studios is concerned. Just unbelievable how many hit movies they can put out.
They're not that good,
right? I'm not trying to say that I am all for it, but I will say that he was the original choice for the first Iron Man movie. For whatever reason, it didn't work out. And that's why
I'm glad.
I would have said, Tom, you had your chance. Now Robert Downey is Iron Man. Are you trying to come back? Is this fool trying to come back in the multiverse as an Iron Man? If that's the case, I am not okay with that. And no,
he's got his Mission Impossible movies. Let him stay over there.
I don't know if the role is good, like if they put him in a place, because it's obviously he's a high profile actor. So if they put him in just the right spot, then I don't think it's going to be too much of a disruption in the way that the story flows. But I don't know. I'm having a wait and see attitude. We'll wait and see what Marvel does with the MCU. So far they're batting the 900, I would say. So I think they're doing pretty good with how they are crafting their universe. So maybe they'll do it in a way that makes sense.
If you know what, we'll see. If he's a villain, okay.
I agree. Yes.
Something like even though this is a problematic movie, it's one of my favorite movies. It's called Tropic Thunder.
I knew you were going to say Tropic Thunder with his big hands.
I love that movie.
His big fat hands.
I was thinking of that.
What's his name? Les Grossman? His name was Les Grossman in that movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, you, who's the key grip? You, go punch him right in the face.
Right. And I did not know that for the entire movie. I never knew that was Tom Hanks in costume. So Tom Cruise, not Tom Hanks. But if they're able to put him in a Marvel project in a similar way, then I'll be all for it. I just think that he can't be too prominent, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I feel you. Like, he's just extra read all about it, and I'm not interested.
Right. Mm-mm. And also, speaking of Marvel, I recently saw, I think it was on Instagram, where you were talking about, this is like earlier, I think it was last year. So you're talking about not going to see Spider-Man Multiverse. No Way Home. I'm getting my movies mixed up because, you know, it's still pandemic and whatnot. You don't want to be in a crowd.
I'm just saying, like, why is that the only option? Like, come on, it's 2022. I should be able to pay you $20 or whatever you want to, you know, get from this movie and allow me to watch it in the comfort of my own home. What is the problem?
Well, they're looking at the calculus and they're like, it's not happening, Captain. We're not making the money we want to make.
It's the theaters. They're losing a lot of money, you know, because they make their money on concessions. They really don't make their money on the film. And the way it works is, like, when the movie first comes out, a majority of that money goes right back to the studios. And then as the weeks go on, the theaters start making more money. Like, it's a tiered thing. Right. So they start making more money and, you know, still selling those concessions. But the theaters got hit really hard with the pandemic. I understand that. I get it. But I still want it my way. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, that was my question. If you've seen it yet. It's on streaming now. So whenever.
What? You're ready.
Yeah, it came
on. Is it on Disney Plus yet, or do I have to pay for it?
No, it's kind of iffy whether it'll ever be on Disney Plus because it's a Sony picture. It's kind of joint Marvel Sony, but it's really a Sony picture. So you're not going to get all of the Spider-Man movies on Disney Plus, but it's, you can pay for it. You can stream it now. But
all right. Okay.
Let's so neither have you seen it? You haven't seen it either, Brandy?
No, I haven't. I haven't even seen the Black Widow movie. There's a lot of movies that I haven't seen because they're on Disney Plus and I don't go on Disney Plus very often.
Right.
So I mean, you know, I have the streaming platforms that I'm on religiously, and then there's those other ones. Like there's so many things on Apple Plus that I like have on my watch list, and I just don't go to Apple Plus. So I'm like, I'll watch it at some point. I just watched Ted Lasso. So, you know, I have to budget my time or budget my streaming more to these other, I call them fledgling platforms, because I'm like Hulu, Netflix, those are my main two. Then I'll go to Amazon, then HBO, but like Apple and Disney are like on the bottom.
Right. Well, yeah, because Disney is, I think they're actually making money on their platform, but like Apple and Amazon, it's hard to say because they've collectively, they both have so much money that they could lose money on every single show and still make, you know, buy new seasons. They don't care. It's like they've got so much money that they don't care if they're losing money. But I've heard that, I don't have Apple TV, but I've heard that Apple TV has very high quality shows. And I've seen some Amazon shows. Some of the Amazon shows are my favorite, like The Boys. The Boys is an incredible movie, TV show. And there was something else that they had that I
really Umbrella liked. Academy. Oh no, that's Netflix.
That's Netflix, and I haven't seen that. But I've heard that, what's it called? It's Reacher. I've heard Reacher, their version of Reacher is incredible, but I haven't watched that yet. But I'm looking forward to watching that. And but Netflix, yeah, Netflix got a lot of great stuff. And HBO Max, they just had a Peacemaker series, and that's also an incredible series.
So yeah, that was hilarious.
It's just so much stuff out there. It's kind of hard to budget your time wisely.
Yeah.
And plus, I'm playing video games. It's hard.
Everything wants your time and your attention. Everything does. Everyone's fighting for you and your attention. And I'm like, right, no, right, not going to give it to you. I'm going to go play in the garden, suckers.
Speaking of suckers, segue. We're going to go ahead.
Nicely done. And
thank you. I appreciate that. Nice alley-oop, Sonny. We're going to go and talk about our favorite parts of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. So, in this movie, I want to find out, what were your favorite parts of the movie?
My favorite part is when the bunion gets stepped on. When you step on my bunion, you motherfucker, and his toe is throbbing like crazy.
Right.
That's one part. Whole thing, right? It's just nasty toe. I got another one. I'm going to let someone else go, but I've got another part. I don't want to steal everybody's favorite parts. I've got one more.
I mentioned one of my favorite parts, which was when, you know, Fly Guy comes out of prison and he's dressed like a straight up 70s pimp, and he's coming out in 1988, and they are laughing at him, and he freaking runs away, breaks his shoe,
right,
and hides in the alley.
It's funny, we got to give credit to Antonio Vargas for that performance, because it's like you can see as he's walking, because the camera stays on him the whole time. So as he's walking, his self esteem is just breaking down the entire time. He's hearing people talk about how messed up he's dressed. Right.
They're laughing, like, at him.
Did you get that from the what did they say? The Salvation Army, right? And he's like, look, he's got fish in his shoes.
How did those fish stay alive that long?
Here's my guess. I guess that like if he's going to walk in those shoes, he's only going to walk for like 10 to 15 minutes or whatever. He's just showing off, right? He doesn't wear the shoes all the time. So he's got the shoes on. He walks for like 10 to 15 minutes and then he takes them off. And it's just a regular aquarium at that point. Maybe he puts a filter in there. He takes the bottom off. They're platform shoes. So he takes the platform off and then he puts a filter in and the fish are fine and he feeds them or whatever. But, you know, how it doesn't matter.
No, I meant he was in prison. So they kept his stuff while he was in prison. Then fish would have died because the officers aren't going to feed the fish. So... And it's a goldfish. They only live like a year anyway.
No, I have some goldfish. They can stay alive for like between 2 to 5 years.
Okay.
But how long I don't even know.
Like 10 years?
I don't know how long he's been in there. But yeah, that's a very good point, Brandy. How did those? I can only imagine that he was able to purchase some fish before he stepped out into the street. Or so, I don't know. Maybe he had like some friends bring him some fish and he just filled up. And it's like, all right, fly guy, here's your fish. Like, cool. And he put the fish in his little shoe aquarium and he already filled up. And then he filled up the heels with water. And then he attached the heel to the shoe some kind of way. And then he walked out of prison thinking that he was the flyest man on the block. Not thinking that, yeah, it had to have been 10 years because he has no fashion sense whatsoever. So he's walking out in his tiger stripe suit. with a fur brim around all of the seams and this gigantic hat. He thinks mm-hmm. he thought he was fresh to death.
Right, he thought he was right. Killing them.
And it's funny, yeah. Right? Because where I live at, there was a store called Nobody Beats the Wiz. And that was those were the clothes that they sold. Right.
You can't win.
What?
Right. They basically sold pimp centric clothes.
That's funny.
All right, so Sunny. Wow. Yeah, I'm sorry, Sunny. See, I knew I was going to do it.
I'm leaving. Yeah. I'm fucking leaving.
Sunny, you had a part that you were thinking about.
I remembered another part. Okay, so scene. Keenan Ivory Wayans, what was his name in the thing? Jack. He goes to the bar to like meet a chick or whatever. He goes and he like sees her name is Sherry. Anne Marie Johnson. I looked it up. And she takes him back to her room or whatever. And like, you know, it's all, she's just like, oh, well, I guess like she asked him about like, you know, his girth or his size.
Yeah.
Like,
she, you
know. And he was like, no, I ain't got 10 inches. I ain't got 10 inches or something. And then she's like, oh, it's okay. You know, this isn't real. And she starts taking herself apart. She like, she takes her leg off. She takes her butt off. She takes her boobs off. She takes her hair off. Did she even take her teeth out? I don't remember that.
No, she didn't take her teeth out.
She, because you know she's a baddie, right? When he sees her, but then he gets her home, and then she's like, "No, I'm fake too." Like all the way fake.
That like was all so the way crazy.
Fake.
That red leather thing that was making so much noise.
That was just like so ridiculous. It was extra. I feel like the Wayans brothers or Keenan Ivory Wayans, like he was ahead of the game. Like his humor and like the situations that he would put into that movie in the 80s, like the end of the 80s. It was just like that stuff is still happening now. Bitches is fake as hell.
Right. Yeah, you got the Brazilian butt lift, you got the lip injections, you've got the I don't even know what women are doing to their hair nowadays. And
well,
it's
nothing right now, obviously.
people are still making jokes about you know, presentation to this day. And mm-hmm. he just I felt like that was the first time I seen it presented as a joke or as a skit on film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She had like little hair sticking out. She didn't have to take her wig off. You don't gotta take your wig off, hun.
Right. Yeah, she was confessing her.
She was confessing.
Right, I'm gonna get you.
Fakeness.
I'm gonna get you.
So, Brandy, do you have any parts that you want to talk about?
I think it's funny. Like it's not my favorite part, but the funny thing about the cramps. Like when the first time I ever saw that movie, I was like 8 and I was like, what are they talking about? Yeah. Cause it came out when I was in the fourth grade. And I remember people were were, you know, the kids were talking about the movie and my mom wouldn't let me watch it, but like somebody was watching it somewhere and I ended up watching it. And I was like, what? Like, what is going on? Like, cramps? What? You know? And then, you know, freaking Damon Wayans is harassing her and she freaking, you know, basically like turned into a demon. He's like, you got the devil in you. And she's like, no, cramps.
Right.
Her eyes are yellow and she's like, you know, got these teeth in her mouth. I'm just like, oh my God. And like now at my age, I'm I understand. Like, don't just leave her alone.
And the whole way that scene was set up, like she's at work and you know, she's under stress. She's under duress and it's like she just tells her coworker, you know, I gotta go. I got the cramps. And then when she gets out and walks in the street and Damon Wayans starts following her. And then and then it's like, you know, she turns to a demon.
Leonard.
And then the funny part is like when she starts slamming him against the wall and Damon Wayans is screaming, help, help. So it was like what you call it. And then his partner came and rescued him. And he's like, wasn't that you screaming like a little girl? Tell me. He's like, no, man, that wasn't me. I was whistling. there's this part that I want to talk about was because it has permeated consistently throughout the culture. Is when Fly Guy was reminiscing about being pimp of the year. So he goes out and he goes back to the pageant. So it's set up like a beauty pageant. And he goes out and he does his poem, Bitch Better Have My Money. And it was so funny, right? Because the first thing I thought about was Rihanna's song, Bitch Better Have My Money, which obviously comes from this bit.
Bitch Better Have My Money.
Right. through rain, sleet, or snow.
Hemi, what you owe me?
And then, no, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I thought about was Chappelle's show, and he did the Players Ball skit. And I can't imagine this skit coming into existence without I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, with the flashback scene, because that was just marvelous. And then at the end of the scene, when he wins the pageant and they give him his flowers, he starts getting emotional. I just thought that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. You guys can't forget about Ma Bell and her shenanigans, like when she would beat up everybody and doing backflips.
Right. The funniest part in that movie is like when she rescues her baby. And then it switches to a stunt actor. You could tell full on that it's a man with a wig. It's a white man with a wig. They couldn't even get a black stunt double. They got a white man with a wig on. He has a full on mustache, like no effort to disguise it. And he's basically making fun of black exploitation films where you could tell, like his films that are badly edited, you could tell where the stunt actors are and whatnot. So it's like, first and the first scene when like she does the flips, you can say okay, that's not her. Then when she gets to the fight, it's like a full-on white man fighting the brothers. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. It's the funniest part of the movie to me.
It is, it really is. No, you're 100 on that. It's hilarious.
So what else you got, Sunny?
That was mine. Let me see what else is fun. Oh, Chris Rock's freaking cameo. When he goes into the rib shack and he's deep as hell. He said, what can I get in here for?
Oh my gosh.
Like 25 cents. And he was like, what? And he was like, how much is this? How much is that? How much for one rib? And then he like buys something like a cup and he has a stack of money. All this money.
He pulls out that water.
He was like, at first he wants a cup of soda. And he's like, how much is a cup of soda? He's like, $1. He's like, well, forget the cup. Just pour it in my hand for 10 cents. But did you notice he steals something ridiculous. Anyway?
Like, what did he steal?
Yeah, right when John Slade comes in, right? And sees his old buddies for them to get together. Just as like a slammer or hammer, whatever he's playing. He grabs Chris Rock and, you know, starts to ring his leg like he's going to beat him up. And then John Slade comes into the rib joint. And then when they notice John Slade, they let him go. But as they let Chris Rock go, he grabs a paper bag. I have no idea what's in the paper bag, but he grabs a paper bag and runs. So it's like, oh my God, he stole something on the way out.
Bill, cheap ass, got all this money.
Right.
How much for? One rib.
How do you think he got all that money by not spending it?
I said, that's insane. I don't think I have any other most memorable scenes.
Okay, that's a problem.
Because
I could probably go through this whole movie. There's a thing where the reoccurring joke of being pushed down the stairs. Well, they say you can take the window or the stairs, and they always chose the stairs. And then at the end of the movie, Danny gets tired of him, just throws himself out the window. And then there's in the movie, nobody actually says "I'm going to get you, sucker," but it's alluding to that. So there's the version where it's like, I'm gonna get that sucker, and at the end of the movie is, I got you, sucker. But what's really funny is that how when they assault the headquarters at the very end, how everybody's just getting messed up, like killing themselves, they're getting shot up or whatever. Like Isaac Hayes, he puts on all of these guns, and then he shoots himself to death because he slips and falls with some rounds that just scatter on the ground.
He had grenades on himself.
Yeah, he had grenades and everything. And it's like, somehow, for whatever reason, he did not put his weapons on safety mode. So they're all locked, cocked, and ready to go. And he basically shoots himself and miraculously survives. And then there's when John Slade, he has like dynamite TNT, and he's rappelling down a building, but the dynamite blows up before he can go in the window. And then Slammer, who's
red.
And then when Slammer, who's a jack, he's mad because when they're in the planning phases, he doesn't get to go through the window. And then when he goes through the window, he hurts himself. It's like all of this is goated. So I can go on. I could talk through the whole movie, but I won't do that here. But it's chock full of fun parts. So one of the interesting parts of the movie is Kung Fu Joe. So he has an incident with the police officer, and like he beats up the police officer, then he apparently gets shot to death, but then apparently he's not dead. They just shot him and left him on the street. He drags himself to the phone, and then he leaves a message, and then he thinks he's talking to somebody, but it's somebody just like making a joke on him, like, I'm not really here, this is just a message, leave a message, just sound of the beat or whatever. And but did you know that there's an after credit scene to this movie?
I don't know if I've seen that. I don't think I've seen that one.
I did not realize. Is it? After me and Zach finished watching the movie, we just let it play. And then I came back and I was like, oh my God, there's an after credit scene. The after credit scene is Kung Fu Joe. He drags himself to the place where the fight was supposed to take place, the hideout, but it's all done. Everybody's done. It's like everybody's left. And so he got there late. And
I don't think I saw that.
Right. It's at the very end of the movie. Now it's the first time I've ever seen it. And I've seen this movie multiple times. So yeah, I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. So and Zach for his part, I was worried because this is obviously a movie that came out before Zach was born. And there's gonna be a lot of jokes and stuff that's kind of gonna go way over his head. Like there's a joke about the football players being the black hero, like dude asked Jack or John, it's like, what makes you think you can be a black hero? And he was like, I was a football player. And then they kind of backed off. So that's not a joke that he's gonna get, because he doesn't know that all of the actors in the room, except for, I don't even know if Keenan Ivory Wayne was a football player, but all of the other actors were ex-pro NFL players, actors, that kind of joke. And then the joke, basically the whole ghetto joke, like somebody dying of being overgoed because he didn't understand the fashion of that time, or the some of the other things that happened. But he got most of them. So the movie still holds up, right? So he gets the jokes. He really loved the movie. I'm still batting 1,000. I'm not batting 1,000 when it comes to him liking the movies that I choose for him. But he really liked this movie.
How old is Zach? I don't think I know how old your son is. How old is he?
He's 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's fully grown, mostly mature and everything. So I show them these movies, as a bond exercise, and to get his take on it. And And we're so much alike. He's basically my clone. I know that I show him the movies that I think he's going to like because I like them. And I do that because he's we like so many of the same things already. So I figured that this movie would work out. I knew that it was a risk, but it worked out perfectly well. So that's it. We've all talked about what our favorite parts of the movies were. So now we're going to get into the trivia, what some of the things that happened behind the scenes, and I will start us off. So Eddie Murphy came up with the original idea for the title for the film during a conversation with Keenan Ivory Wayans. Wayans asked Murphy's permission to use the idea. So that's cool.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he has some connection to Eddie Murphy.
Okay. So producer Peter McCarthy persuaded John Cusack, with whom he had worked before, to appear in the last shootout scene as a delivery boy. He was shot multiple times and was burned by several of the nearly 20 quibs attached to his body. The scene ultimately wasn't used. That's messed up, dog. I went through all of this stuff and you don't even use the scene.
That is exactly right. I was thinking the same thing.
Rude.
Yes, that's rude. Not even as the deleted scenes portion, because the DVD I had no deleted scenes. Speaking of DVDs, when I first put it in, you know, sometimes when you play a DVD, it's you have a large screen, but it shrinks the image. So you're looking at a smaller image. And I was so disappointed when it's happened that I thought about just going and buying the movie, like or renting the movie. From the streaming service, like, you know, screw it, I'll just watch it as it is. And then after we finished watching the movie, I figured out how I could have enlarged the screen so that it took up the image, took up the whole screen.
At least you figured it out.
Right. I know for next time.
Chris Rock told Reddit that he enjoyed the ribs at the rib joint and ate more off camera. I'm sure he did. All right. During the sequence in Kalinga's headquarters, the theme to the Brady Bunch can be heard. Kalinga's wife is played by Eve Plum, best known for playing Jan in The Brady Bunch.
That was another one of my favorite scenes, especially when his son, the little boy, was reading about Abraham Lincoln. That was priceless. So Ron O'Neill was offered a role. He turned it down because he was tired of being typecast as Superfly from 1972. O'Neill later appeared in the television spinoff Hammer, Slammer, and Slade from 1990. Which I did not know and I cannot find.
Nor did I.
Yes, there was a spinoff.
There was a spinoff?
But I can't find it anywhere. It's like, it's not streaming anywhere or anything. It's lost to antiquity.
Hmm. All right. When Slammer asks Jack Slade, what makes you think you could be a black hero? Slade responds by saying, I'm an ex-football player. Jim Brown played football for the Cleveland Browns from 1957 to 1965 and is in the NFL Hall of Fame. Bernie Casey and Fred Williamson, who was offered a role but didn't appear in the movie, were also professional football players before becoming actors.
Oh, for some reason, I thought Isaac Hayes was a football player, but apparently I was
wrong. No, he's just a Scientologist.
No, he was a Scientologist. Yeah. The song played by the band following Bernie Casey while he walks is the theme song to the movie Shaft, 1971, which was written and originally performed by Isaac Hayes.
That's when I was born. So I guess Shaft is my token animal.
Your spirit animal.
Yeah, my spirit animal. So during the bar scene, when Kim Wayans was performing, Slade asked the bartender, who was that? And she replied, that's the director's sister. The director was Keenan Ivory Wayans and the camera was pointed at him. It was like breaking the fourth wall because he's almost looking at the camera when it happens.
That's funny. The flag with the red, black, and green horizontal shapes in the window of Kalinga's office, Black Revolutionary Headquarters, is the Pan-African flag. It was first introduced in 1920 by leader Marcus Garvey.
Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, really? A lot of people actually fly that flag around here. Yeah. In one scene, a young man in love, played by producer Carl Craig, is shot just as he is proposing to his girlfriend. Bernie's character picks up the body and uses him as a shield to avoid getting shot while running across the street. Bernie drops the body face up in the street before calling cut. Keenan, as the film's director, suddenly runs back onto the set and steps on Carl Craig's stomach and then runs away as he's laughing and being chased by Carl Craig. The whole film crew started to laugh as well.
Okay. During the time of the release of this film, Don Lewis and Kadeem Hardison were starring in the African-American television show A Different World from 1978. Siblings Keenan Ivey Wayans, Damon Wayans, and Kim Wayans also guest starred in the series during its first season.
It's all about who you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been so long.
Did they? I think I remember Kim Wayans on the first season because the first season of A Different World had Marissa Tomei. And that other chick.
Lisa? Oh, Lisa Bonet?
Yes, right.
That's well,
right.
She was the exactly. reason that the whole show started was her. And then she got pregnant.
But and then it was Cree Summer. But I thought she was there for the whole time in A Different World.
Cree Summer was in the first season. Yeah. And Marissa Tomei and Lisa Bonet were in the first season. And then they weren't in the second season. And then they added more characters, or you know, more other female characters. Because Whitley was also
and she,
in
she
the
was
first
there the
season
whole time
too.
What's funny is that I was reading something about, well, I think I saw a TikTok about Cree Summer. So what I did not realize, I mean, I knew that she was a prolific voice actor, but her father also did a little bit of voice acting. He was mainly a musician, and he did some acting, but then he was. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. He was the voice of Wolverine. Sabretooth on the X-Men cartoon that came on in the 90s. Her father played Sabretooth. Yeah, that one.
I loved that X-Men. Loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then he was also the very first voice of Boba Fett. So if you remember in before The Empire Strikes came out, Lucasfilm had put out the Star Wars Holiday Special. And so the Star Wars Holiday Special was kind of like a series of skits and stories. One of the stories was when Luke Skywalker met Boba Fett. It was like, I think they had to rescue Chewbacca or something like that. And Boba Fett acted as like a friend who was going to help them rescue Chewbacca, but it was really a trap to get Luke to Darth Vader. And he revealed himself at the very end. So in that cartoon, Cree Summer's father was Boba Fett's voice. And then he made a reappearance on Droids. And Droids was a cartoon series about R2-D2 and C-3PO and their adventures. And apparently Boba Fett made an appearance and the guy voiced Boba Fett in that one. So I was like, yeah, interesting things. So now we're going to transition poorly to see what the critics thought of I'm Going to Get You, Sucker. So the critics gave it a 62%. The audience gave it 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. On IMDb reviews, it got a 6.6 out of 10. And like I said, these are way better reviews than I thought the film was going to get. So if you ladies can just, Sunny, if you can just start us off.
I sure will. Ryan Murphy needs to sit down, but Ryan Murphy via the Miami Herald said, "The sucker in this film isn't the villain, it's the ticket buyer." Ryan, sit down.
Right, absolutely.
Sit down, Ryan. Next is Kathy Burke from the United Press International. "There's so much energy in this satire that you can't help laughing at its body charm, clumsy, irrelevant adolescence, yes, and often very funny."
Yes, that is the correct answer.
Like Ryan Murphy, like everybody knows Ryan Murphy.
No. It's not that Ryan Murphy.
Oh, it's a different Ryan Murphy.
It's a film critic, Ryan Murphy, who writes for
my
the Miami.
Bad. My bad, just kidding. jokes.
I'm like, no, it's not that Ryan Murphy. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times also said, although, like all good satires, it is cheerfully willing to be offensive, it is almost completely incapable of being funny.
Aww.
You know what? I kind of like you, Roger Ebert, but I don't like you that much. You just ain't from the streets. You don't know. You don't know what's funny.
No, what was that movie that Eddie Murphy was in, the one he did in 2020?
Coming to America.
No, in 2020, the one about the guy who made the movie. God dang it, I can't think of the name of the movie.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Because that actually came out the same year. So that was kind of like a documentary based on a black exploitation filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And I forgot.
Scene when they go to the movies and they watch the movie and all the white people are laughing in the theater and they're like, why are they laughing? This isn't funny. So he set out to make a movie that black people could relate to and would think were funny. And the white people didn't think that movie was funny. And right. I think that this right here is an example of that. Like the people saying it wasn't funny are non-black people. And they don't understand the humor that goes into, and like, because the story tells black problems but it makes it funny and they don't get it. So they didn't think it was right. Funny.
Right. I am looking for it now. Nope, that's not it. For some reason.
I'm going to get you, sucker. Hang on. I'm going to find it.
they have all of his, I guess because it was on Netflix that they don't have it listed because it should. It should be listed with Coming to America too, but it's not up here with Coming to America. Oh, I see. It's got his movies in reverse order. Okay, I'll find it now. You got Dreamgirls, Norbit. Ah, I got it. Dolomite is my name.
Thank you. Dolomite.
Oh, is that what that was? Dolomite? Yeah. Okay, because I see it right here. But that was actually 2019, Brandy. Get it right.
Well, I watched it during the pandemic, so whatever.
Oh yeah, I did try and watch that movie when they were putting out the his albums or whatever, his comedy, and it was just like so crass, I guess. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. And Wesley Snipes was in that movie too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. He was the director. I remember playing against type.
Bougie in that movie.
Yes, I did watch that. You're right. I.
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's what it is. It's like, you don't understand the humor because you're not from where I'm from. So
Right. You're,
you know, like these critics are like, well, it wasn't funny. Yeah, because you don't get it. That's why it's not funny.
And what I really liked is that in the movie, it showed the studio looking at the metrics from like how the movie was doing in certain neighborhoods. And it was like, well, it's doing all of this business in this neighborhood. We should buy this film. Right. So they bought the film, they distributed it, and it was distributed strategically to make the most amount of money. And it turned out to be a blockbuster film.
Jonathan Rosenbaum from the Chicago Reader said, in many respects, this is a black counterpart to The Naked Gun and very nearly as funny. The bounty of anti-macho gags is both unexpected and refreshing.
Yeah, that's exactly my read. So it was extremely funny. I love all of the gags in the movie. Like I said, I could talk about it for days. So moving along, we have Destin. I gave myself a hard one. I'm going to say Destin. I'm going to say Destin Thompson of the Washington Post. He wrote, Wayne's choosing to play romantic lead seems more narcissistic than smartly comic. Watch him unleash those built bicep once too often. He lacks an unidentifiable stick. So that's dumb. That's all dumb. I could barely read it. And it was all dumb. And the reason is it's dumb because it's not a romance. It's not really a romantic lead. It's just a chick who likes him, right? And they kind of have one scene where they get really romantic, and Don Lewis, it's like, even back then when I first watched the movie, watching her act all shy and bashful, it was kind of hard because that's completely the opposite of her character in a different world. So it's hard to buy. But she's so much older than you would expect a girl to act at that age. And then Like, you, girl, you're too old for, you too old to be all, you know, shy and bashful around this dude. And then, you know, it wasn't, it's like he's playing it like it's like some action romantic movie. It's not. So he's watching the wrong movie. He's just saying mean things to say mean things. He doesn't know what he's talking
just
about.
Just saying mean things to say mean things. Drew.
Right, right. He's just being contrary. And then Wally Hammond from Time Out, he wrote, "The greatest pleasure comes along from seeing the 70s veterans and themselves send themselves up." So yeah.
Kill themselves. Is that what he meant?
Send themselves. Basically, you know, the veteran actors playing off of each other, you know, like the ones like Bernie Casey and Jim Brown and Janet Du Bois, like watching them is, especially Janet Du Bois, is like it's fun. Antonio Fargas is basically playing Huggy Bear from Starsky and Hutch. He's just playing it from this movie.
Pretty much. That's exactly who he was.
Right. So yeah, that's what the critics saw, and that's basically the show. I hope you ladies had a great time.
This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. This was it was refreshing to not talk about scammers.
Not today.
I was looking forward so hard to having you on the show. I was like, oh man, I just gotta have one. It just we have so much in common. So I'm glad to finally have you on the show. If you want me to come on Book of Lies, I'd be happy to come on and just basically, like, I'll be saying stuff like, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, keep going, girl.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah. No, so, we were doing collaborations a lot last year, and then we took a break because it was just like, we have to take a break, and we haven't gotten back to collaborations, but it sounds like you've already put your name in the hat for 2022. So I'll hit you up when we're ready to collaborate and bring you in.
Right. Absolutely. Because collaborating is a lot of work. So finally, I'm going to get you sucker is as of this recording available for rent or purchase from your favorite streaming platform. Next week is a special episode. We're going to have it's a special movie. I'm doing a special thing, because usually I'm doing movies about the past, about stuff that, you know, I watched and I loved when I was growing up. But next week, the movie is going to be about a movie that came out in 2021. It's called Game Day, and a special guest is going to be the star and co-writer of Game Day. His name is Dean Simone. Nice. So I hope that you are looking forward to that show. It's a Game Day is a fascinating movie, and if you haven't checked it out, go ahead, check it out. You can follow us on Twitter at Backlick Cinema, or Facebook or Instagram at Backlick Cinema Podcast for updates. Don't forget that you can contact us with any questions, comments, or suggestions at fanmail@backlickcinema.com. So, ladies, have you have any additional plugs?
Wherever you're listening to this podcast, go ahead and find Book of Lies podcast. We're there. We've got a lot of episodes to listen to. And, that's about it. That's all I
have. Yeah. Yeah.
All righty. So one last time, if you like this show, then please help us grow. To do this, you can subscribe to this show, rate us or review us on Spotify, Podchaser.com, or Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. And I know that you've enjoyed our guests, so please listen to the Book of Lies podcast. Rate and review them and follow them wherever you listen to podcasts. Believe me, it matters. Be safe. Share a movie from yesteryear with your family. Hug your loved ones. And if you're going to be anything, be outstanding.